The reading today is about the birth of John the Baptist foretold. It's taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, beginning at verse 5. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Now, while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, it fell to him by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord, and he shall drink no wine nor strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the sons of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel, who stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things come to pass, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." And the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they wondered at this delay in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak to them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, and he made signs to them and remained dumb. And when his time of service was ended, he went to his home. After these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she hid herself, saying, "Thus the Lord has done to me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among men." This is the word of the Lord. Praise be to him.
Thank you, Rebecca. Dear Lord God, I pray that as we listen to, really reflect upon your word that's been read to us, that you'll help me to speak clearly from it. I pray, Lord, that the words I speak will be your words today into our hearts. We thank you for this Advent season starting today, and we pray that we will be captivated by the wonder afresh of the incarnation, God becoming man, Jesus being born in Bethlehem. So Lord, help us now as we reflect on that, as we consider the passage that's been read to us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I don't know what you felt about the lighting of the candle earlier, Whether that's something that happens, does it happen in this church year by year, or is that strange, isn't it? Very strange thing to do. I take responsibility for some things, but this wasn't particularly my idea, although I think it's a good idea. And if you're close enough to see, there are five candles on that table. Now, there are effectively four Sundays in Advent before Christmas. We got that? If you can get your calendar out if you want to check on that. But there are, believe me. But the fifth Sunday is Christmas Day. Now, the four Sundays before Christmas, we thought we'd have a theme for the preaching each day, which is not particularly original. It happens quite a few churches will be doing this. And the four themes for each day was hope for today, peace next Sunday, then love, and then joy. Okay, you got that? You don't need to remember, but they're the four. Now, and the plan was that Dave Ransom was preaching today on hope, which is a good one to start with. Unfortunately, Dave's not well, so he's not here. So his preaching, I hope, will come a bit later. So we've had to do a bit of rejigging. Now, fortunately, sorry, this is a bit boring, but I'll finish it quickly. Fortunately, because of the way the calendar falls this year, Christmas Day falls on, what day is Christmas Day on? Sunday, of course you know that. Christmas Day falls on a Sunday. So in fact, we've got five Sundays have happened, where normally there's only four. And because we're at five, we've got a bonus one. So we've been able to shunt ahead the four and still got five Sundays, which will be filled by these themes. You got that? Well, it's a bit complicated. What it means is that there will be five, but there will be an additional one. So the bonus is today. I'm digging myself a bit of a hole here. The bonus is today. And so today I'm going to step outside of those five themes and just talk generally about a theme which comes, it really underlies the whole Advent thing, the coming of Jesus, the coming of Christmas, and that's the idea of waiting, because Advent is a time of waiting. December is a month of waiting, isn't it? What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? You don't have to say it out, just think about it. You're waiting for, of course, you're waiting for Christmas. You're waiting, some of you, we talk quite a bit about this in this church, about young people off at university, and you're waiting for your children, son, daughter, to come back from university. See them again, aren't you, anybody? Oh, no, you're not. Okay, well, maybe the son and daughter at university are waiting to come home, waiting for the end of term. Maybe you're waiting for the end of this year. Maybe it hasn't been a particularly good year for you, and you're waiting for 2023. That's the next one, isn't it? 2023. You're waiting for that. But the thing is about those waitings is that we know they're going to happen, don't we? You know Christmas is going to happen. It might be good, bad, or indifferent, but it's going to happen. The date's there. The end of the year will come. On the 31st of December, it will come, I assure you. And your children coming home from university, barring any serious mishaps, they will come home. But sometimes, I'm getting to my point now, sometimes we wait for things and we don't know for sure if they're going to happen. When or if. Can you think of something? I mean, some people, this is very trite, I'll say it just to put your minds at rest. Some people are waiting for England to win the World Cup, aren't they? I mean, let's be honest. I mean, if you're very old, you'll remember the last time they did it, but you might not, and you're waiting for it to happen. My grandson in Japan is desperately waiting for Japan to win the World Cup. As we speak, he is in a party celebrating the fact that they've beaten Costa Rica, if they do. I don't know. We don't know that for another hour or so. So around the world, remarkable, isn't it? People are all waiting for their particular team to win. But they don't know whether they will, and they don't know when it will happen. And that's the way it was with Zechariah. Just in case you forgot, you thought I forgot the reading that Rebecca brought to us. That's the way it was with Zechariah. He was waiting. He was waiting. Zechariah was waiting for three things. It's always three. He was waiting for three things. First of all, he was waiting and waiting and hoping and waiting that one day the Messiah would come. He was suffering under the occupation of the Romans. He wanted to be free from that. But most of all, he, along with other godly people in his age, was waiting for the Messiah, for God's chosen anointed one to come. And the many others like him who are there are the same. But also, he's waiting for something else. He was a priest. And strangely, in those days, there were hundreds of priests. Hundreds. Some people think perhaps even thousands. Because everybody was a particular tribe of the tribe of Aaron. They all became priests. All of them. Didn't have to go to Bible college. They just became priests because that's the family they were in. But, and this is the thing, only a few were chosen to do a particular rite within the temple. I won't go into the detail. It's a little bit tedious. But anyway, hear this. Zechariah knew that there was a chance that he might be able to serve God in a particular way that he'd love to do, but he knew basically it was a lottery, almost literally a lottery, as whether he'd be chosen to be the one to go into the temple to do this particular act of burning incense and worshipping God in that way. He waited for the moment. But Zechariah had something against him. He was old, and his chances were slipping away. But he was waiting. And thirdly, he was waiting. Very personal. Nobody knew about this except him and Elizabeth. They were waiting for God to give them a child. Now, I wonder if you can identify with any of those three waitings. Let's take the first one. Waiting for Jesus to come. Waiting for the Messiah to come. They didn't know he was going to be called Jesus. Obviously, they didn't know that, but they're waiting for the Messiah to come. We know, because of Christmas, the Messiah did come. Jesus came. We know that. But I wonder if over these next few weeks, between now and Christmas, you can set your sights not only, do enjoy as much as you can the wonder of the story of the Incarnation, but set your sights a little bit higher, a little bit further to the horizon, and say to yourself, I'm waiting for Jesus to return. What we call the second coming. Don't lose sight of that. In all the excitement as we celebrate Jesus' first coming, remember, he's coming again. If you believe that, you can kind of wave to me. Good. Okay, you're not only do you believe it, but you're also awake. That's great. And when Zechariah went into the temple on this particular day, he had in his mind, no doubt, how wonderful it would be if the Messiah came. We'll come back to see what happened in a moment. Second thing the second thing he was waiting for was a chance to serve God in a particular way. And I wonder if this morning you're sitting here thinking, or not thinking just here, but you have been thinking, I would like to serve God in a way beyond what I'm doing at the moment. Zechariah was a good man. His wife was a good woman. But there was a missing thing that he wanted. He wanted to serve God in this particular way. And I wonder if you sometimes think to yourself, I would like to do a little bit more for the Lord. People often say to me that. I'd like to do more, but I don't know what it is. And I want to say to you, sensitively and lovingly, it's not a lottery. It's not a lottery. It's not a question of whether God picks you and says, okay, you're the one I've chosen out of all the others. If God puts a desire in your heart, and if you're waiting to serve him, step out and decide, yes, I'm going to go for it. We've got a new year coming up, and we'll talk about new beginnings and all that sort of stuff. But just over this Christmas time, think to yourself, I wonder if there's some fresh opportunity God wants me to seize and to go for it. The various things we're pioneering and developing in the church here, you know, and if there's some way in which you want to freshly serve God, either through the church here or through your neighborhood or through whatever other organizations you're working with, keep praying, keep expecting. But remember, unlike Zechariah, with you, it's not a lottery, it's open to all. Does that make sense? But the third thing that we said Zechariah was waiting for was that he and Elizabeth longed for a child. Now, this is a difficult one. I want to speak sensitively here because pastorally, one of the most difficult questions that I have to face sometimes is when a couple say to me, why doesn't God bless us with a child? Gosh, it's painful. And I have to tell you, I don't know the answer. I mean, as in all these cases, you can talk about God's will and God's purposes and God's got a reason for doing what he does. And we believe that. But I say now, before I go on to what I'm going to say next, to say it's tough and it's hard. But we can take the principles of this story and apply them beyond the specific detail of what it was in Elizabeth and Zechariah's case and say, if you're holding on a personal dream which maybe you've not shared with anyone, maybe it's very personal, very private, there's some things in this passage that can be an encouragement and a blessing to you. Okay, you with me on that so far? Right, let's see what we can learn then. Let's look at the positive. What happened in this story? Let me just remind you what happened in this passage Rebecca read to you. Without getting to bog down into the detail of why it all happened, Zechariah came into the temple, and there was a moment, this is the moment that throughout his life he had been waiting for, and he was standing there enjoying the moment. It was silent. The offering, the incense had ascended up, the crowds of people outside had watched through the chimney and seen the incense rising, and they were praying and they were shouting and they were excited. They're excited because in a moment, Zechariah was going to come out and pronounce a blessing on them, and it would just be wonderful. But just at that moment, Zechariah was standing. And you can imagine the thoughts that were flooding through his mind. Maybe all three of those waitings were going through his mind. He was thinking, wouldn't it be wonderful if just now the Messiah were to come? Wouldn't it be wonderful if there was some revelation from God about what's going to happen? Wouldn't that be wonderful? He was also thinking, wouldn't it be wonderful? No, he thought, I can't dare. I can't even dare articulate it. But it would be wonderful if God fulfilled his promise to give us a child. Why I'm standing here. And then an angel appeared. Just like that. It's very specific the way it says it in the text. There appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. In other words, it wasn't just in his imagination, actually there, actually standing there. We don't give a description of what he looked like. We know it was Angel Gabriel, the same guy who appeared to Mary. We know that. But we don't know much more than that. But we do know that Zechariah was surprised, and not surprisingly, a little bit frightened, just a little bit frightened. Then he waited. In that split second, he thought, what's the angel going to say? Because he knew that angels were messengers. They didn't just appear and then disappear. He had something to say. And the message he had was so earth-shattering to Zechariah, because he said, your prayers have been heard. Your prayers have been heard. He didn't at that stage say your prayers have been answered, but he said your prayers have been heard. And Zechariah would have immediately thought, well, I wonder what prayers he's referring to. Is it my prayers for the Messiah to come? They've been heard? Is it my prayers that I should do this job today and do this wonderful thing of serving in the temple? Well, yeah, I know they've been heard. They've been answered. Dare I believe that my prayer for a child has been heard? No. I can't believe that. And just in that split second, while those thoughts were going through his mind, the angel said, your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. Just like that. Such an ordinary statement. Such an everyday statement. Just a moment in human experience that's repeated millions of times throughout the generation of people. Your wife is going to have a baby. And I want to encourage you this morning, whatever it is you're praying for, always hold on to the fact that God hears your prayers. He knows what's best. We don't understand sometimes many things we won't understand, as I said, until the coming day, till eternity, till we meet Jesus. But our prayers are heard. And if you hear nothing else from me this morning, please hold on to the truth of that fact, that God hears your prayers. But there's a couple of other things I'll say in closing that I think we learned from this passage. One is that in answering our prayers, God wants to do far more for us than we actually ask for. You see, in this passage here, what happened is that Zechariah was told his wife was going to have a child. And just for the moment, Zechariah thought, well, that's great. That's obviously got nothing to do with my Messiah prayers. That's another issue. I'll have to keep on praying about that. But what the angel went on to say to Zechariah was effectively, you've been praying for a child, and that prayer is going to be granted. Oh, and by the way, this particular child is going to usher in the Messiah. Wow. So what Zechariah saw as the immediate prayer, God says, I'm going to, with the answer to that prayer, I'll package in with that something ever so much bigger, more than you could ever imagine. God will do exceedingly far more than we could ask or imagine as we pray to him. Please, hold on to that. Not only does God hear your prayers, but he knows the fullness of what he wants to bring to pass through them. And the other thing we learn from this is that sometimes we need to keep things secret. Sometimes we need to keep things secret. Sometimes God will show us something or reveal something to us, and we just need to hold it to ourselves. I think that was why Zechariah was struck dumb. I don't think it's simple. I know it says in the text that it was because he didn't believe. And yeah, that's fine. But I think on the face of it, that's a bit of a harsh punishment, because it was a pretty big thing to believe and he was taken a bit by surprise. But I think it shows the importance of faith, the importance of trust, the importance of belief. But also I think the purpose was that Zechariah was to keep it to himself. And sometimes when God does things for us, we need to hold on to them, keep them to ourselves. See, imagine if Zechariah hadn't been struck dumb, he'd have come out after the appearance with the angel. He came out. The people, incidentally, were waiting for him. They were puzzled as to why it took so long. They thought something had happened in there. And when he came out, of course, if he hadn't been struck dumb, it would have burst. He would have told them all. He said, this is going to happen. But actually, God says, just keep your mouth shut. And I'll make sure it's shut, because I'm going to make your tongue inactive for the next 9 months or so. And it kept to himself. And so sometimes we just need to work out the results of our prayers on our own, rather than necessarily tell everybody. A little bit like that, because later when Elizabeth conceived and she knew that she was pregnant, and her inclination maybe would have been to go and tell everybody, but no, she was moved and prompted to go away. Kept it secret, it says here, doesn't it? After these days, Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she kept herself hidden. So you've got her husband couldn't speak, and she was hidden. Because the thing they held on to was just for them at this day. A time would come when it would be broadcast. Everybody would know. John the Baptist would be famous. But just for now, it would be just for them. So there are times, I think, when we need to keep things just to ourselves. I'll leave you to think about that one. The gift of secrecy, I think, is a gift that the Spirit gives to us as members of his church. One final point before I close. It says at the end of that section, or just before, in verse 22, Zechariah's time of service was when his term of service was ended, he went home. I quite like to think about that. Zechariah had this amazing encounter with the angel, amazing encounter with God, and he went out and the people were there and he couldn't speak, but he was overwhelmed by what had happened. Particularly, he was overwhelmed by this promise that he was going to have a child. Now, naturally speaking, one would have thought you wouldn't be able to see him for dust. He would be, boom, off home to find Elizabeth. But no, he waited God's timing. And although for him it was probably only a few days, sometimes when God shows things to us, not only do we keep them secret, but we need to wait and carry on doing the ordinary stuff. And then God will step in and fulfill his promises. We need to be patient. Service sometimes comes before the spectacular. And that's what Zechariah proved. And that's the lesson we can learn from him. So, I wonder what you're waiting for over these next few weeks. Waiting, yes, for the excitement of the festivities, and it's all upon us. I was in town yesterday, some of you might have been, and it was as if Christmas was arrived already. But enjoy the waiting. Remember that there is a second coming as well as a first coming. Dare to believe that as you reflect on your own walk with God, your own role in his church and his church, there may be something fresh that God wants you to step into. Maybe as the new year comes around, it won't be long. But just maybe, that secret prayer that you've been praying for a relative who really you really want to come to know the Lord, praying for someone who you really want to be healed, praying for something fresh in your own experience, dare to believe that God has heard those prayers and in his timing. Just be patient. Be prepared to keep it secret. But trust in the God who answers prayer. Lord God, we thank you this morning that you are indeed such a God. We pause for a moment to thank you. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunities you give us, sometimes just to wait. And I pray that in the busyness of the next few weeks, inevitably it'll be that way, that there'll be moments when we can just stop and reflect. Search our hearts about our own walk with you. Search our hearts about our own desires and yearnings and dreams. And Lord, that there'll be a freshness about our walk with you when we come out of the other side of Advent. Help us, Lord, we pray, in the waiting. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. Amen.